Commission. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 7, starting with text number 4. Thus the demons remain silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him. Text number 5. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of the Kasyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Text 6. O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara Mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, and it had no support, therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and the demons, it sank into the water. Text number 7. Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed, and their faces seemed to shrivel. Text number 8. Now this one has a purport.
Excuse me, what means shrivel?
Shrivel means shrink up. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara Mountain. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here it is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods, but neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. The demons regard these hindrances as a mere accident or chance, but the devotees accept them to be acts of the supreme ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord, Tate nukampa susamik samana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be the cause by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the supreme controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present personally. It was by His will that there were hindrances, and by His will that these hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Chitir iha vipulate tada. The Lord held the great mountain on His back. Keshavarita kurma sharira jaya jagadishare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to be the devotees, but demons cannot understand. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dareti Svaparanjam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sajajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Krishna Padan Sagana Vita Shivishakanditam Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Hare Krishna. Demons and the demigods often said there's two kinds of humans, I guess, devotees and demons. That's a broad category because there's, in Kali Yuga especially, we're mixed up. You know, devotees and demons, the same person can act like a devotee 1 minute and a demon the next. In the beginning of Satya Yuga, there was only Paramahansas, but then demons came. Gradually they get mixed up. So that, you know, there's a chapter in Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac nature, where Krishna defines and he tells Arjuna, don't worry, you're the divine nature. And actually, we all are. But somehow, even the demons, we've seen demoniac people become devotees. And in Bhagavatam history and in our own experience, and we also see that sometimes it goes the other way. Someone can be born in a family of devotees or act like a devotee, but then somehow become demoniac. In the Bhagavatam history, we even have like sometimes saintly kings or something that get cursed somehow or other and act like rakshasas for many years, become man-eating rakshasas, so they get relieved of the curse. So it's quite mysterious. But the difference is generally that the demons, they think they're the controller. They think they can solve all the problems themselves. They don't see any divine hand in anything. They think it's stupid to believe it, but there's God. You know, you should have your own do it yourself. And devotees accept that, you know, and even when things go wrong in their lives, this verse 17 of Kampans, or Sunyaksamanam, is quoted very many times by Srila Prabhupada throughout lectures and reports. The devotees take it, you know, whatever trouble comes is their karma, is reactions of their own karma, and they carry on with their service to the Lord in spite of any kind of hindrances that come along. By nature, hindrances will come along anyway, because it's a mature world, and sometimes for a devotee, Krishna will personally, you know, create trouble for, as a test, or to show, like in the case of Yudhisthira, it said that Krishna personally created all the trouble that Yudhisthira had to go through. It wasn't his karma. Just to glorify Yudhisthira, to, you know, that could show like how Yudhisthira dealt with. He never got upset. He never blamed God. He never, you know, hated the enemy or anything. He just carried on and stuck to Dharma. So, you know, it's very, very important. And that's what any kind of people that have any kind of spiritual understanding, they'll get some way of seeing things. Like, not always they see the personal God, but like we saw yesterday with that dialogue, if we just present that, say, well, I believe like this, or this is what I think, people will listen. If we tell them this is the way it is, this is the absolute truth, then almost anybody will argue, right? That's just natural. But if we just present Bhagavad philosophy, nice way like that. It's so nice that nobody can argue. Except a really big deal. But if we get a group of spiritually inclined people, they're not going to be demoniac and atheistic. Although I guess to really have a dialogue, you'd have to invite some atheist also. There's that Richard Dawkins, he's the big famous atheist at the moment. Although I heard there's others that have better arguments. But he's somehow quite prominent. I met a colleague of his, another professor that had been with him at Oxford. This man was quite nice. He was a philosophy professor. He was not religious and not atheistic. He was just a philosopher. He said that if you were going to define a fanatic, religious fanatic in the world, this man would be the most fanatic. He was so fixed, he said, on his idea that there's no God. And he told everybody about it all the time and expected everyone to follow him. So even though he's an atheist and says there's absolutely no God and evolution explains everything, although when he's cornered he can't say how it explains anything, but he says it can explain everything. But they had his bookshelf in the Cambridge bookstore in a special display, and it said only his books, and it said, "Read the Divine Dawkins." So even though there's no God, he's divine. I don't know if he put that up or just something. But because by nature, everyone's looking for a supreme person. We all want to find a person. Of course, like the Buddhist lady, she didn't really know what to think about anything. Because that's what, of course, Buddhism... I met one American girl in Thailand that was a Buddhist monk. She was initiated as a quite high monk. And she was working in one society called the International Society for Buddhism University. And she said they were trying to unite Buddhists. So she was studying all the different Thai Buddhist sects to try to find there was any common thread of things that they all believed. So they could start to say, look, you agree on this and this and this. And then he said after, because she said the only thing she had found was that the Thai Buddhists all agree that the Thai Buddhists are the only ones that are right. And so after they could thought they could possibly unite them, then they would try to go beyond that. But that's not anything against Buddhism, but that's just the nature of the Kali Yuga. In Christianity, we'll have the same thing. So many different divisions. And most of them, the common followers, have no idea of anything what their philosophy is. They're just... And in Judaism, there's so many... You know, it's basic synagogues that don't agree with each other, but then within them there are also so many. And within Hinduism, we have many friends in the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, and they said the only thing that when they get together, they only talk about, you know, helping the poor. That's the only thing. They all agree about that. But philosophically, you know, they'll...
Can you say it's philosophical Babylon?
Yeah, whatever, Babylon, yeah, Tower of Babel. There's just millions of them, you know. Every person has his own idea. But Srimad Bhagavatam, and we find that also. But if everyone can agree that there's a supreme controller, any intelligent person should be able to. And now we find even scientists that, you know, themselves admit that they never, you know, they always accepted because all their life, all they ever heard was evolution and you know, chance and all these things. But as they examine things more closely, they're seeing that there has to be there's some design behind it. That according to scientific definition of what is design, which indicates a designer, you know, everything in nature has a design. It can't possibly have happened by chance. So even though they're not religious, but the atheists, the Darwinists and stuff, they say, well, this is just religious fanaticism. If it's not completely in line with their idea, which they have no proof or evidence of this chance. Bhagavatam, by perfect philosophical presentations and by these leelas, you know, show how Krishna is everywhere. In this particular leela, you know, Krishna is, as the Supreme Lord, is coming in. First place, he's arranging the whole thing by giving the idea to the demigods. And then, you know, he had to help them carry the mountain. And then here the mountain is sinking into the water, so he had to come again as a big tortoise. And then the personal part of it is shown that not only was he helping them, but he had his itching back, and so when the mountain was supported on his back and they were churning, and that was scratching his back. And of course, any modern scientist, you know, when we hear the size of this tortoise, you know, they say, well, that's complete mythology. But they don't think it's mythology when they tell us, you know, so many things that they think they've observed about the universe. So, if the universe has a creator, then the creator can come in and out, and he can do whatever he wants within the universe. Like yesterday, someone mentioned spider in a different way, but then I thought of that. The spider weaves his web, and then he can walk around in that web. But any other insect that touches that web gets stuck. And then if he tries to struggle,
it's worse.
And he touches another part to pull himself, he gets stuck on that. Finally, he really stuck. And then the spider comes, and the spiders are quite demoniac. Documentaries, and they inject some kind of poison in that insect, and they tie him up, and then they leave him until they want to eat him. But the spider can move around on that web. So Krishna, by his own energy, he creates the universe, and then he can come and go and do whatever he wants. And those of us who fall into the modes of nature, and then we try to pull ourselves out, and we just get more and more entangled. There's a children's story, I don't know if you must have had it here also, it's an American story, that was animals. And somebody made a baby out of tar, a little baby. The rabbit or whoever it was, they came and tried to pick it up. And then his hand got stuck, and then he pushed with his foot, and then he put his other hand, and finally he was completely stuck. So that's what the material world is like. And when we're trying to get out of it on our own endeavor, we just get more and more entangled in it. But if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, he can just take us right out. And I just heard something else interesting about spiders. The spider web is so strong that proportionately it's much, much stronger than steel. So the scientists are studying spider webs like anything, you know, trying to figure out how they can make spider webs. And they can build buildings, you know, that are very light but much stronger. Of course, Spider-Man already did that in the comic book, right? Made some kind of web mission shooter, but no one really been able to do. do that. But in nature, there's so many things like that. There's so many amazing things that are, you know, who, and the scientists are just study and study and study until they can imitate it to some degree. And then they take credit for making it. They don't take credit to the thing that they're imitating. So, you know, we're just trying to bring people, we're trying to present this Bhagavad philosophy and these leelas. When we present these leelas in dramatic form, we can present them to any kind of crowd of people. And they will be fascinated, and then they'll get some idea, because within the dramatic presentations we can preach the truths. So, in previous ages, like in this Leela, after this was all over, and the demons, the demigods got all the nectar, then the demons attacked, and it was a big war, and then so many were killed. But in all the previous ages and previous incarnations, Krishna was killing demons. You know, Hiranyakasipu was killed by Śrīngadeva. Ravana was killed by Ram. Parashuram killed all the Kshatriyas again and again. Krishna killed so many demons. But Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't kill any demons. Buddha also didn't kill him, he bewildered him in Kali Yuga incarnation. Then Lord Chaitanya, he didn't bewilder them, he made them devotees. He changed them, and that's the current mission, is to somehow or other elevate people. So like the festival yesterday is the example, in a big way, of what our mission is. Prabhupada said many times, just give them nice prasadam and nice kirtan. And, you know, if they want, let them take a book. And that way they'll get purified. Who can resist nice prasadam and nice music and singing and dancing? Everybody, almost anybody, will come forward. Especially when you're giving free food. But some people don't want to take free food, so then we also sell it. And that way people become purified, they become...